Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
Happy Throwback Thursday.
Throwback Thursday. Huzzah!
There you go. Kevin, where does huzzah come from?
I don't even know. It's funny because, like, you mentioned it the other, like, couple weeks ago or months ago, and you're like, oh, that's your tag. And I never realized I used it so much. I have no idea where I got it from.
That's amazing. I love
huzzah.
It.
Huzzah! I don't know.
Literally, it's every email I get from Kevin, whether it's good news or bad news, always ends with a huzzah and an exclamation point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, like, sterile. It just does the job. It's like, huzzah!
It's so Camelot of you.
I was thinking, like, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But
oh, you're
I don't
so
even,
smart.
I don't even know if they even use that phrase in that.
Now, hey, you know what, though? You know what I want to give a huzzah out to? I won't do a shout out. I'll do a huzzah out.
Huzzah out.
Your grandfather-in-law,
Ron,
created.
Oh.
I hope our listeners have seen this. If
Please.
You haven't, go check out our Twitter because it's on our background. It's also on our Facebook. Ron, tell them what Ron did. Your
Ron
amazing
Crawford is my wife's grandfather, and he is an artist among many other things. He's an actor. He was in the Of Mice and Men years, you know, like 20 years ago in that Broadway production with Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
That's when he came to New York, actually. He retired to become an actor. So he and his wife.
If you Google Ron and you look at an image of him, you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I know
he looks
that guy.
Like Mark Twain.
Yeah.
He also, he's an avid listener of our podcast.
Thanks, Ron.
He was in France for a long time in this Arthur and the Invisibles, this movie that Luc Besson, he made.
Yes.
That was a big thing he did. Anyway, he's this. He always has a pad and paper. He's always drawing. He's a phenomenal artist. In fact, little side note, I got my Equity card in 2002 doing Oklahoma, and Ron was cast with me. He played Ado Annie's dad, I think, or he was like one of the guys in it, the old guy in it with a, I'll fill your some full soap book shot, you know. And he, that was a great line of reading, Kevin. But and we lived in the same house, and we would like hang out on the porch together and listen to Moonlight in Vermont, and we were like pals. And then I came to New York. He and his wife Sydney took me under their wing, and then 10 years later, I met his granddaughter and fell in love.
What a small world!
Without any connection to the other two. Yeah. So I've had his drawings. He drew me in 2002 as a gift for the cast. He drew little like he did for us caricatures of everybody, and so I have his artwork on my wall. All during the time that I didn't know him, because we met back up again 10 years later.
Ron, he's an incredible artist. And so
what
Ron did for us, look at the poster, is Ron took our first 42 guests that we've had in our 1 year anniversary and did a little sketch of them. They are so good. And our guests were over the moon. I can't tell you. I have to ask you. They emailed me and were like, how do I get a copy of it? I want to blow it up into a poster. I want to frame it. So maybe we should start selling those things. Ron is going to make posters, mugs, and t-shirts.
He's got a great website, rondraw.com, RONDRAW.com. He's got tons of prints. Just really awesome stuff. You get a lot of his pencil drawings, but then he's also got a lot of color drawings. And he's a real talent. And I thought it was really cool that we could tap into that and have him do those caricatures of everybody. He nailed it.
Rick McKay, who was our guest, said Ron is the new Hirschfeld.
I would say so.
Which I'm like, I agree. So if anyone's looking for somebody to join, Squigs and Ken Fallon and all of them, call up Ron because Ron's pretty awesome.
And he's been doing it for decades. I mean, he used to work for a theater in Chicago back in the day, and he would do sketches of like Liza Minnelli, Frank Sinatra. He's got a signed picture. He gave Frank his, but Liza didn't like her picture for some reason. He'll tell the story someday. Well, maybe we'll have him on to talk about that.
That would
be
great. Oh my God, how amazing.
Yeah, but I love that it turned out so well.
Yes, it's brilliant, and I'm going to blow it up and put it on the living room wall here.
Where
I have no artwork in this house. I feel so bad.
You do. No, everybody, Rob has a clock on his wall. Now, I feel like we should take a picture and post this because what he has is he's got 12 playbills, all right? And the playbills, and he's got a clock that's freestanding in the center, and then the clock points to the playbill as
Kevin
to what time
it is. Kevin
is
doing a full-on Al Roker weatherman. Top, he's literally standing up
I'm
and pointing.
12th night. There's the Lincoln Center 12th night. Get it? 12. There's Act 1. 2 Shakespearean actors. 3 hotels. 4 baboons adoring the sun. 5 guys named Mo. 6 degrees of separation. Mornings at 7. Dinner at 8. 9. The musical. 10 unknowns. And then Biloxi Blues, but there's an XI in that, which is brilliant because that's 11. Because there's no 11.
There is no play or musical that has the number 11 in the title.
None whatsoever.
I checked with everybody. Wow. I went to Trident Gallery and I said anything. They said no. So if anyone knows of a play or a musical that was on Broadway or off Broadway that has the number 11 in it, let me know, because right now I have Biloxi Blues with an XI.
I must say that's pretty original. That's very
Shucks,
smart.
Kevin, shucks. Stop it. Stop
so I'd
it.
Say that's artistic. I think that's pretty cool art.
Thank you. Yeah. Speaking of artistic, what's your favorite thing this
week? Okay. I went easy this week because I went after something that is my
easy
favorite.
Easy to be hard.
It's my favorite, one of my favorite musicals, and I've already done another musical that this woman wrote that we've talked about before. You probably already know. This was a musical that was on the Broadway about 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. It transferred from the Public Theater. A quick side shout out to the Public Theater for all of the art that they've created the last 40 years.
Oh,
you know,
God, yes.
Starting with Joseph Papp and all of that. But he, you know, they gave us like a Chorus Line, and they developed musicals, Hamilton, and you know
Hair,
what they do
Fun
there.
Home. God.
Oh, I mean, so this was a musical that was developed there and was at, you know, the Public, and then they moved it uptown. It did not do well on the Broadway, although it did have, you could tell it was a labor of love. I think the producers that produced it probably put their money in knowing that it most likely wasn't going to be a big old hit. But to me, it forwarded the progression of what musical theater can do, in that this score, it's Carolina Change.
Nice.
So Carolina Change is by Jeanine Tesori and Tony Kushner of Angels in America, of course. This is, I think, probably his first musical that he wrote. And I think they had been developing it for a good 10 years. I read somewhere that they started in the early 90s on this. It's an autobiographical type piece of Tony Kushner's upbringing in the 60s in Louisiana, Lake George, Louisiana, and how he grew up with a black maid, and the struggles. This musical is the struggles of individual people in this musical dealing with change and what they do with that. And the central character, Caroline, who is the maid, resists change. In fact, cannot change. She is not able to move with the times. And it is her kind of struggle with that, since everyone else is sort of seemingly doing it pretty effectively, accepting change. I just think this musical is genius. It's sung through. It's through composed piece. It has elements of gospel, Motown, musical theater, contemporary musical theater, klezmer, Jewish music. I mean, it runs the gamut, because you've got all these different family members in this household, and the music represents each one of them. I was completely rocked by it when I saw it 10 years ago. I continue to love it.
Did you see it at the Public first?
I saw it at the Public with Tanya Pinkins. Chandra Wilson was in it. And Chandra Wilson, you may know, friends, as the doctor, what's her name, from Grey's Anatomy, the sassy short black one.
Like, oh, I don't know.
She's been like in every single episode
of
Grey's
Anatomy. Is that show still on?
I don't know. Is that show still on, you guys? I don't know. I don't think so, but yeah, she I forget her name, the doctor in that. Anyway, but this cast was stunning, and to me, it's like almost an opera, even though it's, you know, not lofty high singing. But it's Tanya Pinkins' character, like, had to basically slit her wrists on stage. I mean, metaphorically. I mean, her throat certainly sounded like it as you went to the run. And a lot of people didn't like that about Tanya Pinkins, because it was a little throaty. But to me, I just heard more rawness and more vulnerability in her character. I saw it at Public, and then I saw it when I was on tour. I was doing Les Mis, and I saw it at the Amundsen, and I saw it there. And again, Chuck Cooper, whom we're going to be speaking to in a couple weeks, he was in it. And it was... I was left dumbfounded. I still am. I still listen to it all the time. My ears are never tired of listening to the score and hearing the complexities of it. You know, this is the woman that brought us Fun Home and, you know,
Do you think it'll come back at some point?
I really hope so. If it does, it'll be a completely different production. It'll be, I think it'll be something that when it comes back, we'll all say, oh my gosh, this exists. We didn't know this was here. You know,
Cynthia Erivo at the Chocolate Factory.
Can you imagine?
And then it'll come
some
here.
Scale down version. I'll do it. I'll sit in the front row and just sob
cry,
my way through it.
Cry and cry.
Yeah. So Caroline, and it was unfortunately, Anika Nani Rose won the Tony Award that year, playing the daughter in it.
Love her so much.
It was fantastic that she got recognized for that.
You know,
I wish Tanya had you know, taken it.
Now, what's the movie? There's a documentary about.
Yeah. Show Music or Show People? Show People, I think.
Show People?
Where the documentary that covers Avenue Q, Wicked, Carolina Change, and Taboo? It was that four.
Taboo?
It was the four of those. Yeah.
Taboo? Was that what it's called? Show People? Show Business? The Road to Broadway?
You always do this, Rob. You always do this.
No, you know what's so funny?
I don't know. Is it? It's Show People.
No, I was literally having a conversation with somebody last night about it. I'm going to say Show People.
I think it's Show People.
Our listeners are either like, yes, Kevin, Rob, don't question Kevin, or they're shouting out the correct answer to us right now.
Thank you, friends, for listening and talking back.
Thank you for talking. Please. I talk back to podcasts all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Adnan, why? That's great.
Well, so so what I would really like in my heart of hearts is to have another musical that Kushner and Tesori write. And I read somewhere that they really enjoyed the writing process together. I'm always excited to see what she's going to write next.
Oh, that's so wonderful. She's brilliant, isn't she?
I think she's absolutely brilliant.
God.
So, Carolina Change, if you've never listened to the score, please do. The first 15 minutes is a tour de force just in itself. Caroline is in the basement. She's doing the laundry of this, and it's hot as hell. And each of the appliances she has a relationship with, you know, just metaphorically, but they sing. They are personified by an actor standing above them. And so you get the sort of the relationship she has to these things that she deals with all day long and what it means for her and everything. And it's just so well done. And then, you know, of course, you have Anika Nani Rose sings I Hate the Bus. That's a really great song in the second act. But I think the music is very smart, and it's just worth a listen. If you've never listened to it, it's sung through, so you get it's like a book on tape.
And watch,
like, you know, it's a story. You get to listen to the whole thing.
And watch that Tony performance.
Dear God, flat. Now her voice, I'm warning you. That was my Tanya. But she's her vocals. Her voice is tired. I mean, it was rough on her voice. I don't know how much of it was. I would love to know in the room how much of it was a character choice and how much of it was just flat
sure.
out. She was tired. But when I saw it in London 2 years after she'd started it, it was still. I mean, she was. But she got through it, but it was tough on her.
I think it's so. It comes from a place, though, that is incredible.
Deep. Yeah.
Because this sounds so horrible. There's so many people that go, I don't want to hurt my voice. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I understand that, but my God, she is brilliant in that.
And that Lot's Wife, that 11 o'clock number, you know, they had done 17 different versions of that. I mean, for those of you who write a musical, you know that it takes a really long time. It took Lin-Manuel a year to write the opening number of Hamilton. You know, you do go through all these drafts. But I was really amazed to know that 17 drafts of that song it took in order to finally find the right fit. And I don't know.
And God bless him for doing that, because some people don't even do that.
Right?
First draft, done.
Elton John's like writing Aida, and he's like faxing it. He's like, ah, that's fine.
It's
make
fine.
It work. It's fine. Just arrange it.
Sing Crocodile Rock. Actually, Crocodile Rock would work in Aida, wouldn't it? Wouldn't there be crocodiles in the Nile?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Charm song.
Thanks for thanks for supporting my vision.
Oh,
I love it.
God.
Okay.
Yeah, so Carolina Change. Check it out.
Carolina or Change. And after you look at Carolina Change, take a look at my favorite
thing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Which is a full show in its entirety on YouTube that
what?
I did not know until 3 days ago was on YouTube. I didn't even know it had been recorded. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm really excited.
I'm going to take you back to around 1977.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Sweeney Todd.
No, but I love Sweeney Todd.
Right? That's just what I think of when you say 1977.
Although these people,
okay,
who wrote this show did not work with Sondheim. They were big fans of his, and he was a big fan of them.
Oh, riddle me this. That's good.
Is that right? Yeah, that's.
I like
think that's
that.
A fair statement.
Okay, okay, all
okay.
right.
Okay, so
ooh.
It is a show with only two people singing all of their own material.
It's not like I'm getting my act on the road and...
No, no, God, no.
Okay,
no,
well,
no,
I'm no. like, really, it was like, no, sometimes no. like, dear Gretchen Carr, I love your work. no, I just can't picture that. I mean, I'm sure he does, but what about the one that Marvin Hamlisch and
nope.
about them? Oh, you already did that.
Nope.
That was our favorite
this
thing.
Is, are you ready?
Yes, bring it.
A Party with Betty Comden and Adolph Green.
Wait, they recorded it?
Yes. It's on its entirety on YouTube. Yes. I just found this.
Holy
okay, so for our
shit.
Listeners,
I want to go to that party. I want to go right now.
This I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. Okay, so just so our listeners know.
Betty Comden and Adolph Green.
We all know them, right? Lyricists, librettists.
They
genius.
Wrote everything, I feel like.
Everything.
Yeah.
Let's go through the list really quickly
yeah,
of some of
it.
Their big hits.
Okay.
They include
yeah.
Wonderful Town.
Yeah.
Bells Are Ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Doremi.
Mm-hmm.
What else am I forgetting?
Everything with Julie Stein, I
On
feel like.
On the Town.
Yeah.
Hallelujah Baby.
Uh-huh.
Applause.
Uh-huh.
On the 20th Century. Uh-huh. I'm going to take a moment. Will Rogers Follies. Like, the list goes on and on. And, of course, the screenplay to what everyone Reason. Considers to be the greatest movie musical of all time,
Singing in the Rain.
Yeah. Right? It's that.
Totally.
So.
And they were, and to clarify, some people think they were married. They were just partners, songwriting
just partners.
Partners. Like,
just partners.
Like Candor and Ebb.
He was married to Phyllis Newman.
That's right.
And I forget who she was married to, mm-hmm. but they had their own respect.
That's right.
And of course, Phyllis Newman, Adolph Green, gave us the wonderful Amanda Green
yeah.
who did such things as
High Fidelity,
which we've talked yes. about a lot, and Bring It On, which we
yeah.
love.
And Hands on Hard Body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which another good. That should be one of our favorite things at some point.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Comden and Green got started doing these things, which they don't do anymore, and I wish they would, which is these club acts.
Yes.
Where they would go and do reviews and sketches in clubs of their own material.
An old review, like an old school review.
And that's how
know?
They got started. And they yeah. and they wrote a part for themselves in On the Town,
yeah.
which I think is so
And they were in.
Cool.
They were in that on
they
Broadway.
Were, yes, they were in it on Broadway. Yeah. They wrote it. Not only did they write the show, they put themselves in the show, which yeah. is great. In 1958 or so, they did a little review of their music. They had worked on at that point some of their club work, some of their big hits. They put them together in a review. There's a couple of clips of that on YouTube. They're very young, exuberant,
oh, and
energetic.
Because they were the reviewers with Judy Holliday was
yes.
a part of that same group.
Judy
there was
Holliday,
a, there was a core of them that were all like, they would write each other stuff. Talk about making opportunities for yourselves, kids.
If
you know?
Opportunity isn't knocking, build the door.
Exactly. Man.
Thank you. That's the title of my book.
I like that.
If opportunity isn't knocking, build the door.
It's like, right, you read that after you read The Artist's Way.
We don't read The Artist's Way. We don't read that. We've
okay.
talked about that. Don't get me on a tangent.
But, oh, my God.
So anyway.
Yeah, so they did a little review in the 50s, you
and
said.
And it was fun. And then, obviously, after the 50s, they did even more
yeah.
shows. And so they came back for a revival.
Fade Out, Fade In. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was
just
of course.
Yeah.
And it's the two of them now in their 50s. What I think is so cute, it's just them on stage with a piano and two stools. She's wearing a powder blue dress, and he's wearing a powder blue tie to match.
Oh.
And then in Act Two, there's a costume change. She puts on like a red pantsuit, and he wears a red tie, so they're unified a little bit. What I love is they're not the best singers.
Right.
They're not the best singers. They are having so much fun putting over their work.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be honest. when you see somebody like Stephen Sondheim perform one of his songs, he sits at the piano. He's not a performer.
Right. Right.
You see it with Jerry Herman. They sit at the piano. They're not really a performer. These two people are jumping around all over the stage. And there are so many great songs in here that I was like, I had never heard of some of these before.
Oh, really?
That I think are so, well, funny. One of them that I was just in love with was called Inspiration, which was behind every man. There's a great woman behind him.
Nice.
Which is hysterical. There's also, oh my God, where is it? I'm looking for it. It's going to drive me crazy. It was, where was Catch Our Act at the Met?
Huh.
Do you know this one?
I feel like I've heard of it.
So for Catch Our Act at the Met, apparently there was a season at the Metropolitan Opera where people were getting, they were putting some movie stars in to some of the operas, or they were putting in people who really weren't opera singers.
Right.
So they come on and they do a total parody of what happens when opera gets dumbed down. And one, it's hysterical.
That's good.
Two, the whole audience is laughing. But I'm thinking, what audience today would get that?
Oh,
it's such a literate audience. It's such a literate time.
Right. It crossed culture. I mean, like, it was like the opera people knew up the in jokes and the musical theater people knew the opera jokes. And I don't think we have that today.
No. We really don't. There's the French Lesson. Have you ever heard the French Lesson?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's so good. And my favorite song at the beginning, called I Said Good Morning.
Okay.
I said good morning to the cows. Good morning to the chickens. Good morning to the roosters and the hens. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. And then it was time to say goodnight. So I said goodnight to the chickens, goodnight to the roosters. It's so cute and it's adorable. They look like your grandparents. They just look like your grandparents coming in. Oh, he does. Adolph Green does Captain Hook's Waltz.
Wait.
They wrote Captain Hook's Waltz.
Right, of course.
And they wrote Neverland.
Right.
And they wrote, oh my God, I can't. I need to lay down.
You're so... I didn't know that they... I remember that
That's an alarm. I don't know if our people can hear it. The reason the alarm is going off, it means the police are coming to give me my medication. Because every time I talk about Comden and Green, I need a moment to lay down. So, yes, I just stumbled upon this one night in a YouTube haze.
Wow.
And it's wonderful because, like I said, it does two things. One, it introduces you to two brilliant performers who understood how to put over a musical number, which I think is an art form within itself. But it also really gives us a celebration of all of the versatile work that they created over the years. Because I don't think they get the credit they deserve.
Actually, you're right. They did.
We've had
so much.
Yep.
And yes, we know them, but there's never been like a Dance-In or like a Jerome Robbins Broadway.
Now think about it. How many Sondheim reviews have there been?
Right.
Right. This is all the music Stephen Sondheim wrote on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is all the scene change music from Pacific Overtures. Roundabout presents.
He's like, dong, 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 dong. Yeah.
Roundabout presents the curtain call music of Stephen Sondheim.
It's a disc of curtain call music.
Please join us when Norm Lewis and Barbara Cook sing songs Sondheim wrote three measures for and then stopped.
And threw it out.
And then threw it
You're
out.
You're right. No, we
directed
don't have,
by Eric Schaefer at the Signature.
We don't have a Betty Comden Adolph Green review, I want to say.
We really don't. And I'm surprised nobody has done that yet, because when you look at...
Or a retrospective.
Yeah,
you know.
And I think this is a really good... I think the Comden and Green party is a great...
And it played on Broadway, right? It was
played on Broadway for a little bit. And they were still doing it, apparently, for a very, very long time afterwards. They would go around the country.
Like Jerry Herman would do in the 80s. I feel like he used to do that
a lot. Jerry Herman used to do that in the 80s. But like we said, Jerry Herman, it's pretty much he sits at a piano and he tells anecdotes and songs. Julie Stein did the same thing, and there's nothing wrong with it. But these are two people. Their curtain call is amazing. I don't want to give it away, but I'm going to give it away. They go off stage.
Mm-hmm.
Exit stage right, stage left. They literally run from the wings and jump down to center and bow. Aww. And I'm like, these are two people who love being on stage. They offer wonderful insights into the writing process of what they created.
Wow.
But it also makes you go, God damn it, they were funny.
Yeah.
And heartbreaking. Think of the jokes in 100 Easy Ways to Lose a Man, and then think of Some Other Time.
Yeah.
Think of... what the hell is it?
If
you've been on the square and you treated me fair. Oh, she does that in this.
Oh, brilliant. From Two on the Isle.
Yeah, yeah, and she's a little slow. The tempo for her is a little slower, mm-hmm. which I'm okay with because it really makes you appreciate, God,
the lyrics.
Damn, these lyrics are brilliant.
Wow. Oh, man. That and they really, you can tell, had a love of theater, that they truly worshipped that little, that art form that they helped create, and they stayed with it. I mean, think of how they also evolved with the times from Two on the Isle, which was basically an old school review musical starring Burt Lahr and, you know, Dolores Gray, I think, and then all the way through times to, you know, like Will Rogers Follies in the 90s, and I mean, like they stayed, you know, current in their way
and performing,
you know,
and working. And always having ideas. I think it's wonderful. So anyway, mine, this, it's very quick. It is fun. It's called A Party with Betty Comden and Adolph Green. It's on YouTube. Just watch it and get some fun audition material or get some new songs into your cabaret act.
Brilliant.
Because they are in there and they are genius.
Brilliant.
So I'm so happy. God bless them.
Yeah. Huzzah!
Huzzah. I need a washcloth to lay down.
You were so excited about it.
I need to lay down. All right, my friends. Till next time.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
I dreamed a dream of days to come, where sponsorship is high and money is forthcoming.
That's beautiful, Kevin.
I really added a voice onto that one, too. I really was trying to go for something there.
Listeners, we love creating this podcast, but it does cost money. Please don't make me sell my Angel record.
Oh my gosh, the original cast recording of Angel.
That, like, nobody has.
Nobody has it.
If you like what we are doing and want to keep doing more of it, please head over to patreon.com.
What?
PATREON.com.
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.
Rion.
Patreon.
Yeah, and once you're there, search for Behind the Curtain Broadway's Living Legends. And of course, we don't expect you to give without receiving some great rewards.
Such rewards include behind-the-scenes videos, shout-outs on future episodes, or episodes, depending on what part of the country you're from, because I said episodes, and early access to some of our podcasts. Hell, for the right price, Kevin and I will come to your apartment and act out all of Agnes of God.
So head over, friends, to patreon.com to help us out.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.